Tuesday, you really should thank you. I got on that platform. I got somebody to introduce a speaker, and I know as well as my brother. And the name goes away. You really ought to read this. This is me who speak now on prayer as a missionary. I don't think it will.
Prayer and the missionary. If you ask a missionary, what does he need more than anything else? I think every missionary will say prayer. And this is genuine, because we know that in the work of the Lord, it's utterly essential that there be a girding about by prayer in the work of the Lord throughout the day and throughout the years. So we as missionaries need prayer. There are 7 references to prayer in the Thessalonian epistles. And I'm going to use those sort of as an outline, if you like. The first of these is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 at verse 17. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17. Pray without ceasing. This has to do with personal prayer and our prayer life, a continuous prayer life, day by day and throughout the day, is an essential thing. Living in the atmosphere of prayer. I mean, it almost seems an impossibility to pray without ceasing, and yet it's the attitude of constantly depending on the Lord and lifting up our hearts to Him and constantly depending upon Him, an attitude of prayer. Pray without ceasing. And 2, a continuation in prayer for workers, all believers, and for home workers and foreign workers, those on the mission field and those in the homeland, pray without ceasing. The prayer life of a Christian is essential for his growth spiritually. And on the mission field, as well as in the homeland, there is the rat race. There is the great responsibility that's on each one and things that must be done. And missionaries can skip prayer, too. And the pressure of the Lord's work, the activity, can force prayer into a tiny corner of missionaries' lives if they're not very, very careful. On the mission field, the responsibilities that one has, and the program that one works out for oneself. Because on the mission field, we don't usually have a boss over us. We don't usually have, particularly in our work, where we have a tremendous amount of liberty in assembly commended workers on mission fields. One is really more or less responsible to the Lord in the planning of his day. Of course, if one takes up medical work, it's very evident he's in a program in a hospital or a dispensary, and in schoolwork and in many other places. There is a regularity without much possibility of variation, but there must be time for prayer. Keep at it. Don't stop praying. Pray without ceasing. Prayer has been a very important part in our life. I worked for a long time with a brother by the name of Brother Searle, who was on the field, Gordon Searle, who was on the field before we went out to Africa. And he was several years, perhaps 10 years older than I, and in some respects, quite a different temperament than I. And one of the problems on the mission field is working together with other people and fitting in with people who are perhaps of a different temperament. Our brother Searle was a very quiet, spoken brother and not one who had any schedule particularly in his life. He just took every day as it came along. And, well, to give you an example, for a while he was the legal representative to the government for the assemblies. And after his time of, which was a brief time, I had that responsibility for many years, and then turned the work over to our brother Yosia Butso, and since that time he has been the man the government looks to find out anything about the assembly work in all northeastern Zaire, and is responsible for the conduct and the work of all the missionaries. Any missionary who would engage, for example, in any political activity would be the responsibility of Brother Yosia Butso. The government would call him and check up on him. One has to be very careful about any participation in political things on the mission field, and we're very anxious to keep it this way. Our brother Cyril, one time, he was up at his home on the hill, and I was down in sort of the center of things down at Yankundi, and a government official came in, and he had a very important subject to discuss, and he wanted an answer from our brother Cyril and for me, although I was at that time more or less his assistant in this work. And this Belgian came in, and he wanted an answer right now. And so I gave him a place to sit, and I sent up a note to Brother Cyril. There's an important matter to be taken care of down here. Gordon, would you like to come right down and talk to this brother and give him an answer? And I got a letter back, and he said, I'm having an interview with the King of Kings. Well, that's very fine, but it left me holding the bag a bit that time. We had different temperaments, and in order that we might work happily together, and we succeeded in doing this, we had to spend time in prayer. Brother Cyril and I used to come together in a room in the home I was occupying at that time, and we would come together maybe 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning, and we would stay together on our knees all through the day until perhaps 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And we considered this prayer and fasting. We would be kneeling side by side, and we would be interceding before the Lord, and very often a hand of one would go over the other shoulders, and the other way around, and just through that day, we would spend those hours just before the Lord and the two of us. And this was the way we kept very short accounts with each other, and we worked together happily for the Lord, with the Lord, and under His guidance for many years. I remember the way the Lord had answered prayer for both of us. One time, that time he had a large Harley Davidson motorcycle, great big thing, and I later had a smaller one. I used quite a bit, a Triumph motorcycle, used a lot in the early days. But at that time, Brother Searle had this machine, which was a real joy to him, and one time I was riding behind, and he was driving the machine, and we were going at high speed along the road, and suddenly it stopped, and we got off and looked and found there was a little part. I think it must have been the top of the distributor or something like that. I can't recall the exact part, but we had lost this in the bush and going at that speed, and we could not get it going again unless we had that part. So we looked and looked, and we couldn't find it. How far back would you go to find a little part like that in the grass on the side of the road? So we prayed. And we looked, and there it was. Well, things like that are, you might say, trivial. Well, how can they be trivial when it's an utterly essential part to make a motorcycle work, and he just picks it up, puts it on, and off we go? Prayer of saints in fellowship together. Prayerlessness is powerlessness. In Matthew 6, we read about anxiety. Be not anxious for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink or what you shall put on. Be not anxious for your life. And in 1 Peter 5:7, we have casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. And we have very similar in Psalm 55:22. Roll it on the Lord and leave it there, and the Lord will undertake for you. Prayer, supplication with thanksgiving, those wonderful verses in Philippians chapter 4, which are always such a joy to us, Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. be anxious for nothing. I realize that the King James would be careful for nothing, but the New Scofield has changed this to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Roll it on the Lord and leave it there. And this is one of the suggestions and work of the Lord for the Lord in the different mission fields as well as for home workers and for us all. Carrying our burdens is unnecessary. The Lord is there to accept the burdens, and we bring them to Him in prayer, and we leave them there and go about without anxiety. 1 Timothy 2:8 speaks about praying. 1 Timothy 2:8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands with wrath and without wrath and doubting. Pray everywhere. Necessary day by day for spiritual refreshment, necessary to pray in depth. The Lord prayed sometimes all night. Luke 6:12. I should have put little tabs in here to find this quickly, but you follow along with me if you will. Luke 6:12. Pray. It came to pass in those days that he went out to a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Our brother Ezekiel Nguera, known to those of you who have been in Africa, a man of God who knew the Lord and walked with the Lord and was mightily used of the Lord, used to do this. He would go up a mountain to pray. I asked him one time, I said, Ezekiel, with your large family, how can you possibly find time to go into your closet and be alone and pray with all these children you have? Oh, he said, I can't find it in the home. He says, I go up into the mountain. And I search for a place where an antelope has spent the night in the long grass, and where the grass is all trampled down, and it was the little sleeping place of the antelope, and I go right into that place, and the grass is all around me, long and high, and there I am, and all I can do is to look up, and I pray, and I pray, and I pray. When Anna, his wife, was having her first child, in the night, he was staying around to see what help he could be. The midwife was not very efficient, and his wife was suffering very greatly, and his heart was broken as he suffered with her, but he decided he wasn't any good, so he went away. And the trouble continued on through the night, and then at daybreak, the child was born. Where's Ezekiel? Couldn't find him. Well, where would he be? We went to the chapel and see if he's there. There he was, on his face before God in the chapel, praying. And they said, Ezekiel, Anna has a child, a boy. And he said, we're going to call him Timothy. And he went back rejoicing. And Timothy is today a man of God, serving the Lord. He's the one who had a stammer and prayed to the Lord to remove it, and then he became the Sunday school superintendent, served the Lord, and is still serving the Lord. And our brother Paul Nzikakwa, I've mentioned him. These are men who are walking with the Lord. He's the man of the angular features and perhaps not too attractive a physical appearance. Man who knows God in a real way. Has a hut on his property out a little ways, and he goes there and spends the day in prayer in that hut. And then in the evening, he goes out and visits in the villages, always working for some place where some backsliding Christian was, someone who should have been at the meetings and isn't coming, and he's going to find out at night when they're all there, away from the fields or away from cow taking care of the cows and in the grass. And there he goes and speaks to them with the Lord. But he has a prayer hut. You enter into that prayer hut and you feel a sense of being in a very sacred place. Because you know he spent hours and hours and hours on his knees with his word, the word of God, and his knees. Brother Yosia Butso, mightily used of God in Zaire, had the custom of rising at 3 o'clock in the morning, every morning. We heard about this, but when I traveled with him, this is a real trial to me. Because at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'd hear scratch, scratch as he was lighting the kerosene lantern. And that was just about the end of it for me too, but I don't usually rise at 3 o'clock in the morning, but there he was, carrying on day by, morning by morning, year after year, on his knees, the Bible open, a little kerosene lamp giving him some light on the pages. Can we wonder that God has so blessed his ministry and deepened him in a very wonderful way to become mature in spiritual things with a judgment and a responsibility of as an elder and as a leader in the work, a man of prayer. Pray everywhere and always. And I think of Mark chapter 1, how many times I've read this, because it's so much like our work out there. All day long you're working, and you get to a village at the evening, and you're just longing just to get into a place where you can stretch out on a camp bed and so on. Mark 1, going from verse 32 on, the Lord comes to the city and they gather together at the door, but he'd been serving during the day and was weary. When the sun was set, they brought him all that were diseased and those who were possessed with demons. All the city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases and cast out many demons and permitted not the demons to speak because they knew him. And he's weary. The Lord Jesus was weary, and he goes to bed weary. And be sure of that. Verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and prayed. And so when the Lord Jesus prayed, people were going to learn something of the meaning of it and the purpose of it all for us. And in the 11th chapter of Luke, you remember the Lord was praying there, Luke 11, verse 1. It came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. It isn't only the form of the prayer, or even those things that the Lord has emphasized here as important parts in a prayer, giving an example in prayer, but we might call it the disciples' prayer, but the fact of teach us to pray. There was the Lord praying in a certain place, and he prayed and prayed, and then the disciples were just waiting, and when he finished, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Perhaps we need say that too. Lord, teach us to pray. Well, then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 at verse 2, we're not getting tired of Thessalonians, are we? Wonderful. 1 Thessalonians, verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Making mention of you in our prayers. And then he goes on remembering the work that God has done in their hearts. We make mention of you in our prayers. A very wonderful friend of mine in my earlier years was one with whom I was very privileged and honored to share sometimes ministry in conferences, Harold Harper. I remember Harold Harper so well because sometimes I was on the platform with him and he was preaching. I don't know if you remember him. He used to bounce when he preached. Bounce, bounce, bounce. And you know, as I was sort of thinking of him as a kind of a model to me, I found myself starting to bounce too, and I had to fight against that. Wonderful ministry. But one thing I know about Harold Harper was this. He had a list of all those who professed faith in Christ under his ministry. And he wrote letters to them. And he prayed for them day after day after day. Barry McDowell, one of our missionaries out there, is one who was saved under his ministry. What a wonderful thing to have a list of the names of all those who have professed Christ under his ministry. It was a lovely thing. I don't know if you have a prayer list or if you follow any program in praying, but evidently Paul did. He says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Giving thanks to God for them. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 at verse 13. This is the third mention. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, unto which he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of glory of our Lord Jesus. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. So on. I don't know if you've noticed how many times the word brethren is used in these epistles. It's in the second epistle. It's used 7 times. Brethren. I've marked it in my Bible here. It's interesting. Brethren, brethren, brethren. And in the first epistle, it's marked in the 5 chapters. It's mentioned 13 times. And I have a little quarrel with the New International Version, which is a good version. But brethren is unscriptural, according to them. At least they call it brothers. And I don't know. I just wonder if perhaps one of the translators who was with the assemblies, perhaps he was chided by the others because he wanted to hold to the name brethren. They said, no, no, no. Now they don't use that word brethren. That's archaic. They use brothers instead. So all the brethren instances in the scriptures have been erased, and they put brothers, 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 brothers. But brethren is all, it's an awfully nice thing to know about brethren. You know, in the early days when Christians were meeting there in England, some of the people were saying, well, these people meeting down there in Plymouth, who are they anyway? Nice people, but kind of peculiar. Some of them were still carrying on in the Church of England and so on, but they didn't seem to have any love for the liturgy and litany and the robes and the processions and all these things. And what are they doing down there? Well, they meet down there to remember the Lord, to have communion down there. And what are they called? We asked them, and they just said, we don't have a name, we're just brethren. Oh, well, down there where the brethren are, and so there it was. And it's a good thing, just not to have another name, but just to meet in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's what the early brethren did. And, of course, we made it a bit into an official title, but brethren with a capital, with a small b, is awfully nice to be brethren in Christ. And in this, it's interesting, and it's a joy to see over and over again how Paul considered those of the Thessalonians as his brethren. And so we have them, 2 Thessalonians 2:13. We have a mention of that. And then also in chapter 1 and verse 11 of the second epistle, 2 Thessalonians, and chapter 1 and verse 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, and the work of faith with power, that the name of the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Is it redundant that over and over and over again, Paul uses that complete title of the Lord Jesus and his personal name, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, 9 times in the first epistle, then 11 times in the 3 chapters of the second epistle, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a joy to hear how frequently amongst that the complete name is given, the title and the personal name of the Lord Jesus, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here in this 2 Thessalonians 1:11,
It's that you would count you worthy of this calling to fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, work of faith, this power that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him. I certainly hope you're praying like that about us in our service for the Lord. We as missionaries in the fields of the world, I speak for all of my colleagues worldwide, because we need the prayers of God's people. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, there's a slightly different prayer. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 at verse 10. Night and day. Shall we start with 9? For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy with which we joy in your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly, fervently, that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. He realized there was work yet to be done by the Holy Spirit of God in guiding the believers on further in the faith and in service for the Lord. And he longed to see their faith and perfect that which was lacking in their faith. And I can say that this verse for us was our great desire in going back to Zaire. His desire was that he might see their face and go back again and minister to them that they might be further built up in the faith. And this exactly explains the reason we've gone out for 3 months to Africa. And we feel that the expenditure of time and money was wonderfully worthwhile. We praise God for it, and we're looking forward again. And praying that in the will of the Lord we might have again the opportunity of going out, encouraging the saints out yonder and ministering the word right out in their villages, living with them where they are and eating their food, and coming close to them in affection and ministering the Lord Jesus to them. I was thinking, too, concerning the prayer in assemblies, because out yonder, the prayer in the assemblies is important. Thinking of Acts chapter 2, you remember the time, shall we say, of the formation, the very beginning of the church. Acts chapter 2 and 42, we always quote this, and correctly so. Acts 2, 42, after the many believers were made and they were baptized. Verse 43, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, that is, in the teaching of the word of God, and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And now, we should pay attention to all of these in our current life in assemblies of God's people. In fellowship, I think we come together for the study of God's word, and we enjoy fellowship, and we enjoy the breaking of bread, but very often in prayers is considered as less important, because as we travel around North America, we find that the prayer meetings are poorly attended. And yet in the beginning, this was really one of the important meetings, one of the important times. And I know with our situation, it's difficult to get together. And in some places, the prayer meeting has been allocated to different places in the city, places that are nearer to the homes of people, and you have one there and one there, maybe five or six different places, and they meet there for the break, for Bible study and prayer. And certainly the aggregate number is greater oftentimes in this way, but it's in some respects too bad it has to be that way, because the oneness of the assembly together in prayer is lost, and there's nothing we can suggest about it, but we just comment on that as a situation that exists. Out in Africa, the prayer meeting is the subject of attention of many. And this situation is true in many places, because the prayer meeting is a midweek meeting, and some people have to come some distance by foot out yonder, and to be able to come and then go back after an evening prayer meeting is very difficult for them in some of the smaller villages out in the distance. In the Nyankundi prayer meeting, there's usually a good turnout, and we had a visit from an evangelist from France, our brother Mr. Le Grand, who was commended by assemblies in Belgium. He's a very powerful man of God in ministry, or rather in preaching of the gospel, and he offered to come out, and he came out for a month's meeting, and he spoke every day, sometimes two or three times a day. And Brother Kahigwa, Sir Shadrach Kahigwa, and I interpreted him into the Swahili, but we had very, very wonderful meetings, great meetings, and many professed salvation in the Lord Jesus. He spoke in French, and we translated into the Swahili. And the Lord really blessed. And as he was ready to go back to Belgium, he asked to have an interview with the elders. In fact, they had planned a little dinner for him, and we were there too as well. And they said, "Now, we would like, if you have any suggestions as to how the work here can be improved, criticisms, tell us, because you're from outside, and you see the situation as they would see it in across the seas, and perhaps you can make a suggestion." He said, "I have a real suggestion for you. I think your prayer meetings are terrible." He said, "Your prayer meetings have maybe four or three, even three brethren, and they pray all the time, and they pray a long time, and people are tired." And he said, "I make a suggestion that you have shorter prayers, and that you have a list of subjects to be prayed, for which to be prayed, and that you have some brother stand and read some of the subjects, and then let a brother or several brothers pray for those subjects, and then stand again and give some more." And I was a bit skeptical, frankly, but they said, "Well, that's good. We're going to try that." Well, I tell you, the prayer meetings are quite different now, because they have, you know, just exactly what they're going to pray about. The little subjects are given, one or two subjects, and maybe one person, this person who's reading the list might say, well, perhaps one brother would pray, or perhaps several brothers. And they give special subjects that are really hot items for prayer. And they pray. And now it's not a few people, because they have so many items, they must make room for other people, and now many, many people pray. It's very, very much better. For example, there have been wonderful answers to prayer. Recently they were praying while we were out there, because these are observations that we made as we've gone back and been with the Christians there. They were praying about 17 men who were responding to a call at a gold mining camp way to the north, more than would be could be reached in one day. Really, the trip getting there by foot was almost too much for a man. But they said, "We'll do it anyway." And the man who was the head of this camp was a professing Christian. In fact, he had professed to be saved under Paulo Nzikako, and he had been baptized, and he had been in fellowship at the nearby meeting, but he was out searching for gold, because gold is now free as far as the prospection for it, and there's no law against it. It's no longer illegal as it was at one time. So the people flocked up to this place, and this man went, and finally he found that he was the center of a village that was growing up around him of these gold miners. And the gold miners came in, and Nestor, as his name is, was there, and the thing got beyond him, and he saw the license and the immorality and the evil, and they were just living for time and for personal gain. They would get some gold, and people would come in and sell them liquor and beer and other things, and women would come in to sell food to them, because they had so much money they could give for anything. They would spend the money on all sorts of things right there, and so it became an important center. But it was troubling his heart, because he's really a Christian, I believe. He said, "I must do something about it. I'm really responsible for this great crowd, and They're lawless people, and they're in sin." So he sent to Brother Paul and Zikaku and said, "Can't you come up here several Christians come up and preach the gospel to these people. They need the gospel. There he is, and sitting on this tremendous camp of people and responsible for it. And so they had this for a prayer meeting. And 17 men who are all in full-time gospel work got together and said, we'll go. 17 of them went. And they walked farther than we could normally be walked by a man, but they went anyway. And they had 3 days of meetings. I wasn't there, but we were at Nyankundi, and we got the reports. It just broke the people. Tears on all sides. Souls saved. And people who were back in sin, crying out to God. And they said after the 3 days, well, we got to go. But listen, leave at least two of you to stay and carry on. Well, we're going to have to go back and pray about it. But we'll build a chapel so that it'll be here all ready for you to come and teach us so we can know how to walk for God. So they prayed before they went, while they were gone, and then prayed again after they got back. And it was just rejoicing as to what God was doing. Well, there's at Nyankundi itself, I just listed some of the prayer meetings they have in the course. Some one day, some can't come another day. The doctors and the nurses can come only rarely, and yet they come when they can, and there are always some that manage to get it in. A lovely time of prayer. Well, here, I'm going to give them to you quickly. The assembly prayer meeting every Friday afternoon, medical prayer meeting every morning at 6:30, printing plant, daily prayer meeting, and then a whole half hour on Friday morning. The employees around the homes, daily and with workmen, schools, a daily prayer meeting, at least daily prayer, let's put it that way, and Bible study. Back again doing that. The government said for almost 3 years, no mention of the name of God in the prayer, in the schools, and no reading of the scriptures. And then because of the terrible situation in the country and immorality rife in every place in all the schools, the government changed, and they gave it back to missions, and so we still have we again have the prayer meetings. The hospital chapel, there's prayer. And then this inter-staff missionary prayer meeting every morning in English. And the CMML missionaries, 6 a.m. every Thursday morning. And we have to make it early like that because for a lot of people, work starts at 6:30. And hopefully they've had some private prayer before they come. But it makes them kind of early. But every Thursday, the CMML missionaries gather. Well, there are another couple of instances of occasions for the use of prayer here in 1 Thessalonians 5:25 is the next one I'd call attention to. 5:25. And this I call personal and corporate prayer for missionaries. 1 Thessalonians 5:25. Brethren, pray for us. This is the cry of missionaries in all the parts of the world. And then 2 Thessalonians 3:1-2. Brother J.B. explained this very well last night. Finally, brethren, pray for us. Pray for us, the missionaries, asking for prayer, Paul and Silas and Timothy. Pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. And then on for other things too. We may be delivered from absurd and wicked men, for all men have not faith. And you know in Ephesians 6, you could certainly add that in thinking about this, where Paul says, and puts all these alls in one after another, Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. All those alls there are worth noting. And then he adds 19, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel for which I'm an ambassador in bonds, and that in this I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Personal and corporate prayer for missionaries. The Lord's command in Matthew 9 is better, a better way of praying than for are making appeals for missionaries, but the Lord says in Matthew 9, pray ye therefore, shall we say verse 37 in 9th chapter of Matthew, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest field. Rather than the appeal and the challenge of man, pray that the Lord, we noticed yesterday that it's the Lord that sent, that the Lord will send laborers into his harvest field. Well, praise God for the prayer helps we have in North America to give you information as to how to pray about missionaries. There's the missionary telephone with 8 locations. Christian Missions Magazine, Missionary Prayer Handbook, Home Workers Directory, The Daily Battle, Workers Together List, International Crusades List of Workers, and these are aids. Why are these things published? So that you'll pray intelligently. When that missionary telephone is available, get the last information, the last problem that's come to the notice of those who are searching for it. There it is, in 8 different locations. And all of these other, we are very fortunate in having all these things. We're so grateful, we missionaries, that the information is so spread. Dr. Harlow has an article on world evangelism. I think it's in your book, a copy of that. It's the one of the I Believe series issued by Walter Press, Kansas City, Kansas, John Williams. He says, Dr. Harlow says in this article, radio, to be effective, needs prayer. We're interested in radio work. We know it needs prayer. So does literature. Black marks of a carbon compound on a thin pulp product, a thin pulp product called paper, in case you didn't know what that was. A carbon compound found on a thin pulp product called paper obviously cannot convert a soul to God unless the tract is backed by prayer. And then he goes on to say, we believe in the power of prayer. More than all else, missionaries and projects initiated by missionaries need prayer. So you have a copy of that there in your hand. And then one more verse to quote 1 Samuel 12:23, Samuel saying concerning Israel, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Brethren, pray for us. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful to Thee that those missionaries of long ago, Paul and his colleagues, spent so much time in prayer and asked for prayer for themselves. And we pray, Lord, that our going over some of these things may stimulate prayer in using the facilities that we have so wonderfully made available to us for information concerning the foreign fields, that we may persevere in prayer. For the glory of Thy name, the blessing on the ministry of the Word and the preaching of the Gospel worldwide, until the Lord Jesus comes, in His own precious and worthy name. Amen.